Hi, folks. I'm WNYC's Sean Carlson. I'm in for Tanzina Vega for the next few days. The World Economic Forum just released its annual Gender Pay Gap Index report. And get this, this is not a typo. The report says it's going to take another 257 years to close the gender pay gap across the world. We just want to give you a moment to think about that number. 257 years. And by the way, it's almost 50 years longer than what was predicted by the forum just last year. The index has examined 153 countries since 2006. Iceland continues to top the list as the most gender-equal country, whereas the U.S. dropped by two ranks this year, landing at number 53. And in the U.S., the wage gap is even more extreme for women of color. Black women make 21% less than white women, and Latina women make 31% less than white women. But even though the 2020 report says it's going to take us longer, a lot longer, to reach full equity, we are seeing some progress. Joining us now to break down the report for us is Nicole Mason. She's president and CEO of the Institute for Women's Policy Research. Hey, Nicole, thanks for coming on the show.
Glad to be here and really having this important conversation.
Well, as we mentioned, the Gender Gap Index, it launched in 2006. Can you tell us about some major trends you've seen since then?
We continue to see unequal pay for equal work is still an issue for women in the U.S., and men continue to out-earn women in most occupations, and that continues to be true. And just thinking about that stat that you gave a few moments ago about the length of time it'll take to close the gap, it's because change has been so slow and incremental, and so not much has changed in terms of economic parity for men and women since the last index. One of the trends that we are seeing is the role of automation in terms of pay equity and closing the gender wage gap. Women are more likely to be impacted by automation. So let's say in 1999, women's labor force participation was at its peak at around 60%. In 2024, it's estimated that labor force participation among women will be around 55%. And that's due in part to the role of automation.
What other major changes have there been in the global workforce in terms of this pay gap in the last decade or so, aside from automation?
So women continue, in terms of economic participation, which is the, you know, where we see the biggest gap at the index, women continue to earn less and are not in senior level positions in terms of corporations or in jobs. So that's a trend that has persisted from 2006 until now. So women are not in positions, economic positions of power, and that's really hurting, you know, women and I would say societies, you know, across the globe.
So what kind of power do women currently hold in the economic sphere?
So when I think about the power that women hold in the economic sphere, I think about our consumer and purchasing power. But again, when we put that in conversation with lower wages, yes, women make up a majority amount of consumers globally, but they actually have far less to spend. And so when we think about what creates a booming economy, we measure that in part by consumer confidence. But women, because of the lack of earnings or pay parity, are still less confident in terms of spending.
And as we mentioned at the top here, drilling down into the numbers for the United States specifically, these disparities in terms of the gender pay gap, they're more pronounced for women of color. Have those numbers moved at all in recent years?
Actually, they have not. In fact, when we put into context, so for Black women, in terms of achieving pay equity in the U.S., it's going to take about 150 years. For Latina women, it's going to take more than 200 years. So when we put that in plain terms, you know, for Black and Latina women, at least for my daughter, she won't see pay equity or gender pay equity in her lifetime, and neither will her daughter. And so we're talking about two generations out. And we think globally that is also the case.
Geographically speaking, are there parts of the country where we see differences in this?
Yeah, absolutely. So in states like Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, so in the South, the pay gap is significantly higher than in other states. And so, for example, in California and New York, there is greater gender pay equity between men and women. For example, in California and New York, there's higher educational attainment levels for women. There might be more progressive policies, public policies to support women in the labor force, and women are more likely to hold managerial or senior level positions as well.
Can we look at other countries, say, where maybe they're making strides on this as a template for how to make progress here in the U.S.?
I think we can and we should. If we look at what's happening in, you know, Iceland and Norway and Sweden, we can really think outside of the box about what it'll take to achieve gender pay equity and gender parity, you know, not only in the United States, but globally. When I think about what those countries are doing right, I do think it's about empowering women economically and also politically and making sure that they are able to participate in the economy in ways that are meaningful to them. I think having progressive public policies related to childcare and parental leave are also critically important. As you know, in the United States, we don't have strong parental policies and protections for women. And so when women leave the workforce or the labor force to have a child, we see her earnings decrease significantly.
And we mentioned at the top, too, that this closing of the gender pay gap, it's slowing down. And not in a small way either. We're talking about a 50-year difference from last year. What should we take from that?
We should take that we need to be really proactive about this. And this is really urgent because the reason why 50 years was added was because between 2006 and 2020, there was very small incremental gains, and it was really at a slow pace. And so if we continue at that same pace, it will take an additional 50 years. The good news is that we can be really proactive and really lean into this issue and begin to accelerate policies and other shifts that will be necessary to close this gap.
Nicole Mason is the president and CEO of the Institute for Women's Policy Research. Nicole, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.